and you care about us. Lord God Almighty, we pray that you will minister to our hearts this evening in Jesus' name. Let your name alone be glorified, for in Jesus' name we pray. You know, in January, for that month, we spoke about a new beginning. And last month, it was, who can remind me? Last month, if you can believe. And this month, trust in God. So I'll text my text this evening from Proverbs chapter 3, and we'll read verse 5 and 6, which says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. I read it again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Now, let's look at that scripture. You know, there's a trust. There's trust in God. There's a place of the heart there. There's a place of understanding or your own understanding. There's a place for acknowledgement. There's direction. And there's a path to go. So if you look at trust, trust is the firm belief in the reliability, truth, or ability of someone or something. You see, yesterday I saw one funny proverb. Somebody was saying a funny proverb, and he said, he who swallows a complete coconut has absolute trust in his anus. You know, for you to swallow a complete coconut, unbroken, just swallow it. Your anus must be big enough to allow the passage later. Otherwise, it is UCH. So for a man to trust his anus so much that he will allow a coconut to come in, then you know that that trust must be very, very, very serious. You know, that proverb is hilarious, isn't it? So who to trust in this scripture? You know, we have seen that trust is a belief in that someone is reliable, is truthful. You believe in the ability of that one or something. So who are we to trust in that scripture that we read? Trust in the Lord. So who are we to trust? God, right? The Lord. So when this month we are saying, trust in God, we need to understand why we need to trust in God. So when we say God is the one to trust, it means that it is possible to trust in something else or someone else. Do you agree with me? Please, Mike, because all of us are doing the study today. I want few people to name other things or other things that can be trusted apart from God. Now you think if he's saying trust in the Lord or trust God, it means that you can actually trust some other things, isn't it? So what are those other things? Let's know. Let's learn. What are those other things that you think that we may put our trust in, that people can trust? Please just signify. Yes, there's someone here. Thank you, my sister.
We can trust in his word.
We can
trust in his word.
In his word.
Yes.
We can trust his word.
His promises to us.
Okay. That is still about God. But I'm saying, what other thing can we trust apart from God? Or things that are related to God?
You can also trust in yourself.
Self?
Yeah.
You can trust in yourself.
In yourself, yes.
Thank you, sir. Yes, someone said it is possible to. Do you believe that? How will you trust yourself? Just believe that. Mokato. Sorry? That is my strength. Okay. What else? Do you think? Yes, that's someone. Thank you.
Money.
We can believe, we can trust in money.
Yes.
So some people actually trust in money. They believe that their money can do anything for them. Thank you. What else? Are there no youth in the house? What else? We have a lot to do. Ma? Influence. You can believe, you can trust in people.
Your background.
Okay, your background. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. So, I also put it here. Money. Power. Power. Connection. Skills. That I'm... my skill is helping me. Your family lineage. Our family is one ruling. It is our family that is controlling. So I believe that nothing. We are from the royal family. Okay? I also wrote political family. I belong to the ruling class. And then some people believe in terrestrial powers. They believe in juju. They believe in voodoo. And they believe that it is the power that has been helping them. You know, when I was much younger, I've said it several times, and I was in secondary school, and I was a brilliant boy, I don't understand. I just joined some funny people, and then I went to do juju. And the juju man said, they now said, if you do something, you will pass very well. You will pass. Unfortunately, my own, it does not work, never work for me. The more you, I was not reading again, so I started to fail. You know, but some believe in things like that. You see, Psalm 20 verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Some trust in chariots. They trust in things, but not God. So, but if you read that verse 8, it says, they have bowed down and fallen. So it means that trusting in other things may lead to our downfall. But trusting in God guarantees our standing in victory. He said, they have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. So the best is to trust in God. You can trust in any other thing. They can help you to a level. But you get to a point where you will fall. The one that is assured is trusting in God. And that is why this month we will continue, and other speakers will continue to talk about trust in God. Now, where is trust measured? In that scripture, in our text, where is the trust measured? Who can answer now? Where is it measured? Read your text again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Where are they going to test our hearts? Thank you. It's tested in our heart. Romans 10:10 says, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Many times, we say things that we do not mean or we do not really believe in. You know, just say it. You know, practical example are the politicians in Nigeria. They will just tell you, we'll do this, we'll do that. Right? It's a lie. They will just deceive you. When I first got to Ibadan years ago and I started work in a particular bank, my manager, you know, some things happened and my manager was telling me, now, don't you know that if we tell you it is yellow, you must go and confirm that it is yellow. It may be white. Ah, I said, I'm not used to that style. My white is white, my black is black. How can you say yellow and you expect me to be checking whether it is green? That is how the heart of some people work. You can never. So, somehow, it is the heart that determines the level of your trust. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, it says, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You see, there are some people that come to church and they profess Christ. Oh, hallelujah, I believe. Oh, praise God. When, before you even say pray, they will pray, but their heart is far from him. So sometimes it's not about what you mouth, it's not what you say that really, really determines whether you trust God or not. It is measured in the heart. And who measures your trust is God. He measures the level of your trust. And that is why if you see that scripture, it says, trust in the Lord with all. Did he say half of your heart? Did he say some part of your heart? He said all. The one that will be recognized is when the whole heart is filled with that trust in God. Then you have 100% trust. Then things can begin to happen. So, no wonder, in Proverbs 4:23, it says, keep your heart with all diligence. Because that heart is what, it is that area that will determine whether your trust will be 100%. It may decide, some people may decide, the heart will not be filled, they trust 90% or 80%, and they will fill the rest with something else. They will fill the rest with the trust in themselves, trust in their money. You see, some Christian, the first thing that comes to their mind is what I have, what do I have around here? Not God. But what God is telling us is your trust must be in God. You see, what I just said now, I'm guilty of it. I was everything, it must be, man, think, wrong guy, think guy, not God first. I'll be thinking, it's possible. In fact, when you are in need of money, I'll think, oh, okay, I don't need to pray. I know this person, I know this person, I can do this one, I can check this one. A lot of people are like that. We cannot trust God, but we believe that maybe if we some trust in their mouth, some trust in their skill, like I said. But what he says, guide your heart. All those things, whether you're going to trust, whether you're going to doubt, whatever is in your heart. So you guard your heart with all diligence. So what can stand in the way? You know, we're talking about trust and trust in God. He said, trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your path. What can stand in the way of our trust? What can make us not trust with the scripture that we read? Who can say anything? Or should I just now start to ask questions like a teacher? Just like Reverend will say, no, I want to learn too. There's nobody that does not know it. Barrister Ademidu, I nominate you. He's here, wearing white. We tie.
Well, you can doubt when you are confronted with some facts, certain facts.
Okay.
So it affects the trust, your level of trust.
Thank you, sir. So what? Who else has something to say? Mrs. Adeni has something to say. I nominate Mrs. Adeni as the representative of women.
Is doubt? Or lack of confidence.
Lack of confidence. Okay. Thank you, ma'am. You say? Up to fire. Thank you. So, who can stand, or what can stand in the way? If you look at our scripture, that verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. So I put it here that your understanding is what can stand in the way. It is your own understanding. And everything that they have said is because of your understanding. When you see some things, your understanding is that this thing is impossible. Your understanding is just understanding that stands in the way of your trust. It could be your head knowledge. Some, it's your level of study. Do you know that one brother here before, some years ago, was very sick. A terminal disease. So, he went to the hospital. When he got to the hospital, And our doctors were treating him. And I went there. Everything they were saying, this brother did not understand what they were saying. And with his family. Whatever they were saying, he just said, ah, the Lord is good. God is there. It is possible. Hallelujah. They did not even understand. The people kept telling them that this thing is dangerous. He said, hallelujah. You see, the challenge is, I now have understanding. I have understanding. They told me. Me that I was praying, I was afraid. So, I think the following Sunday or so, this brother came to church. He came to give testimony. While he was sharing testimony, I went to Dr. Fola. Should I tell him not to give testimony? I said, this testimony is too... because what I knew, to him, he had said it. And do you know that? He just bounced back. When you have too much knowledge sometimes, why do you think some people find it difficult to serve God? Especially when you call yourself a philosopher. They will start to propound theories. And then when you are saying God, they will start to ask you questions. Who is the father of God? Who impregnated God's father? How did death come about? You know, they start to ask you questions. I'm a Jew. So sometimes your level of study affects your trust in God. Because you will say, I know this thing. Say, it's just that you don't understand. So when even a pastor is preaching or praying or people are talking to you that it is possible, say, I'm saying I don't have fallopian tube. You can't understand. See, it is somebody that has fallopian tube that can have a baby. There's no fallopian tube there. Forget your God. It is not possible. Let's go and look for alternative. But you'll be shocked that if you can trust God, we have seen people without fallopian tubes that are having children. That is what God can do. Trust in God. You see, then some people, they say things. It's part of your own understanding. They say things through their limitations. So when we are talking about God, you'll be thinking about how limited you are. What is not possible with you or through you. And then you think that God is at your level. It is not so. So don't say things in your own limited way or through the lens of your limitations. Some people see it, part of their understanding, they see it, through their past failures. And they assume that, no, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Some, because of their exposure, understanding that they have by exposure, they said, no, it is difficult to trust God. You see, Proverbs 28, verse 26, the A part of it says, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. So if you believe, if your own belief is in your own understanding, you are a fool. He said, who trusts in his own heart is a fool. He now admonishes us in Proverbs 3, 7 to 8. He says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Do not be wise in your own eyes. He said, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. So God is advising us, forget about what you think you are. Forget about what you think you know when it comes to trusting the Lord. So, I said, is trust measurable? Can you measure it? If you agree that it's measurable, just wave to me. If you think that you cannot measure trust, wave. So nobody is waving. You are now afraid to say, maybe I will say you have failed F9. There's no F9 in this thing. You see, our trust may be partial. It can be total. That's why he said, trust the Lord with all. That's why he put it there. He didn't say trust the Lord with your heart. He knew that it is measurable. In 1 Samuel 12 to 15, those chapters, read them when you get home. When threatened by a Philistine attack, King Saul disobeyed God by offering a sacrifice instead of waiting for Samuel to do it. He couldn't wait. And if you were in his shoe, you probably would do the same thing. He had waited. He knew that Samuel was supposed to come and offer the sacrifice to do his own part. And he waited and waited. And things were becoming too late. Then he tried to help. At that point, his level of trust was not 100% anymore. And he acted. You know? So if you look at that, you'll realize that he trusted God to an extent. Until it appeared there was no hope again. So he helped God. We also know the story of Sarah in Genesis 16 and verse 3. He says, who gave a servant to her husband, Abraham, to marry so he could have a child? This was 10 years after Abraham had arrived in Canaan. So are we going to say that they have not tried? God promised, said, leave your father and your mother. Do this. The guy started moving. He got to a place that he had battle with with Lot. After all of that, he kept moving and all. And then he got to Canaan. Can you imagine the number of years? And God said, you will have a child. Then he was now in Canaan 10 years again. 10 years. And then some of us will be blaming. You see, because when you now go to Hebrew, they were talking about people of faith. Say, ha. And so Sarah believed. Abraham believed. And you now think it is easy. Look at the number of years. The man had been thriving. You were gently with your family. This same God said, leave the place. And you obeyed. Like some people, when you now say, I give my life to Christ. Some people are making fun of you. People in your family, the family of the unbelievers that you belonged. And they said, okay, move. And then you move. You now said, I praise the Lord. I'm now in the family of God. And then you are waiting. Those people that you left, they all marry. Those people that you left in that place, those family, they now have their own husband. They have their wives. You that you now claim to be like Father Abraham, serving the Lord, years in, year out, you know result. How do you feel? Don't you know that it will get to a point that to trust God becomes difficult? It's difficult. Even look at Job. He's serving the Lord. Okay, when did serving God become a sin? When will somebody now suffer and the children will die because he's serving the Lord? If not for the grace of God, even his wife said, what is it now? What is it to trust in this God anymore? We have served him enough. Deny this God. If you want to die, die. His friend said, and you check yourself, you know you had no sin or that you can, And you kept thinking. And people, everything is working against you. Will you still be able to trust God? That was the situation of these people. 10 years. So it is measurable. But as far, like I said, people cannot judge. They cannot measure it. The person that will measure it is God. But it is measurable. It is measurable. So, what is trust in God? Trust in God simply means to have complete confidence in God and to be able to rely on Him for anything. Complete confidence in God. That's what we are talking about. And what we are asking, what the Lord will want us to do this month, henceforth, is to have complete confidence in Him. Complete confidence that in Him. And that you can rely on Him completely for anything. Anything means anything. You can trust Him for the choice of your wife or husband. You can trust Him even for the choice of your children. You can trust Him for anything. Anything. Complete trust. Complete confidence in Him. And for you to have complete trust in someone, that person must be worthy of your trust. He must be worthy of your trust. You see, trusting God is living a life of belief. Belief in and obedience to God, even when difficult. That's trusting God. Trust is built through our relationship with someone over a period of time. You know, last month we were talking about belief, if you can believe. And we were saying that, you see, you can't believe somebody if you don't know him. And you can't trust someone if you don't believe in what he can do. And you see, this year we are saying, arise and shine. You can't arise with the challenges around and continue to think that you will shine if you cannot believe God and if you cannot trust him. So, you can see that the way God is leading us is really, really, and you know, in January we say it's a new beginning. God really wants to start a new thing with us completely from this year. So, I will encourage you that every of these topics that we are discussing, or theme of the month, You work on them. Make them part of your life. Because we are going on a journey. And it's a journey of success. It's a journey of abundance. It's a journey of breakthrough. Praise the Lord. So, why should God be trusted? Mike, please tell us. Why should we trust God? Why should God be trusted? Please, we don't have luxury of time. Why should God be trusted? We are Bible scholars. Thank you, sir.
It's faithfulness in times past.
Thank you, sir. Faithfulness. It's faithful. Yes. Mrs. Okafor.
He's able to do all things.
He's able to do all things. Thank you. Who else? It's the I am that I am. Thank you, ma'am. Man, why now? It's now 2:01. Okay? Let me just rush through because that's what everything they said are part of what I wrote here. Number one, I said God is faithful and good. He's faithful. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, AMPC version says, God is faithful. Now put it there, reliable, trustworthy, and therefore ever true to his promise. And it can be depended on. By him, you were called into companionship and participation with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So he's faithful. He's reliable. He's trustworthy. Ever true to his promise. In 1 Thessalonians 5:24, it says, he who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. So that thing, he's faithful to the point that even those things that you think is a challenge, is one that will sort it out. He will sort it out at his own time. Number two, I say, he loves us and has good plans for us. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. 1 John 4:16 says, God is love. Number three, I say, all things are possible with him. Mama says, I am that I am. All things are possible with him. Luke 1:37 says, for with God, nothing will be impossible. In fact, if you read the account of Matthew 19:26, it said, men, it may be impossible with men, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Nothing shall be impossible with him. So, all things are possible. So, you can rely on him. You can trust him because there's nothing that is difficult for him to do. Then I say, he knows better than we do. That's another point. Romans 8:27, the Message version says, he knows us far better than we know ourselves. Knows our pregnant condition and keeps us present before God. He knows us. Another one, I say, he cannot lie. He can't lie. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie. Then another one says, it does not change. It's not like somebody who will, you can trust that, okay, it can get to a point today and it will just change. You know, you may have a friend that is so reliable. One day you just realize that he has changed. Somebody that you trusted so much, it will just change. God is not like that. It never changes. The Bible says it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. He cannot. Number seven, he made all things. And so he's capable of sorting things out. He made all things. Colossians 1:16 says, for by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth. And so on and so forth. So, I just quickly run through the benefits of trusting God. What do you benefit if you trust God? Number one, I say, the desire of your heart is granted or is given. Psalm 37, verse 3 to 5. Read that one. Write it down. Read it. Number two, it gives greater joy at the end. There's greater joy. Proverbs 16, verse 20. The B part of that, Proverbs 16, 20 says, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. The Message version says, things work out when you trust in God. Things work out. At the end of the day, there will be a result. So at the end of the day, You see, it may be funny. Look at Abraham. Look at Sarah. They didn't get that child for so long, but at the end, Sarah laughed. At the end, it will end up in joy. So I don't know what you are going through. I don't know your situation. Maybe people are already mocking you. They are mocking your God. Keep trusting. Because the thing is that at the end, there will be joy. That is it. That's the benefit of trusting in God. Then there's a peace of mind. Another one, peace of mind. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. You will have peace. Trust in God. Another one is fruitfulness. Jeremiah 17:7-8 says, a man who trusts God will be like a plant planted by the riverside. You know, just read that one also. Another thing is, there's security and deliverance from the wicked. Psalm 37 verse 40b says, he saves them from the wicked because they trust in him for protection. NCV version, NCV. Proverbs 29 verse 25 says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be saved. Then he gives access to God's mercy. Psalm 32 verse 10 says, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Mercy. So you see, when you give on to your own understanding, you may be far from mercy. So trust God. Trust God. He gives mercy. Okay? Praise the Lord. Why is trust difficult? Why is it difficult to trust God? If we know the advantage, and we all know, why is it now difficult to trust God? And somebody said it. He said delays. Hope defers. Delays. Bible Proverbs 13:12 says, hope defers, make the heart sick. But the heart will be sick. And you know, a sick heart cannot really achieve much because it's sick. So hope defers. Hope defers. So it's difficult. A lot of us are in that situation now. The hope that we had has been there for so long. And God is talking to you this night. So it's becoming like it's not possible anymore. I'm telling you tonight, please hold on. Be encouraged. God is not far away. God is at the corner. But in his own time, he makes things beautiful. He will make it beautiful for you. Please keep holding on. Trust in God. After all, he's the only one that can do it. Praise the Lord. So you see, the reason people fail to trust God, there are two things. So, number one, hardship. When there's hardship, it's difficult to trust God. Number two, when there's good life, when you're enjoying too much, it's also difficult to trust God. When you look at hardship, John 16:33 says, this thing I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. There's tribulation in the world. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. In good life, you remember the story of a young man, a rich man, in Luke chapter 12, verse 16 to 21, who had plenty of land and harvest. He thought of building a large store and just enjoy life without having God in consideration. In verse 20 of that scripture, God called him a foolish man who would die that night and leave everything. In verse 21 of that scripture, Message version says, that is what happens when you fill your bank with self and not with God. The NCV version says, this is how it will be for those who store up things for themselves and are not rich towards God. Praise the Lord. David has is extremely careful of those two. In Proverbs 13, verse 7 to 9, I read the Message version. It says, and then he prayed, God, I'm asking for two things before I die. Don't refuse me. Banish lies from my lips and lies from my presence. Give me enough food to live on. Neither too much nor too little. If I'm too full, I might get independent, saying God who needs him, no more trust. If I'm poor, I might steal and dishonor the name of God. He said, God, give me little. But you see, I like what Paul said. Paul, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 12, he balanced it. He found a way around the situation. He says, I read NCV. He says, I know how to live when I am poor. And I know how to live when I have plenty. I've learned the secret of being happy at any time in everything that happens. When I have enough to eat, and when I go hungry. When I have more than I need, and when I do not have enough. That man just trusted God. Whatever situation, he will not waver. But for David, he found out that if he became rich, he could have a problem. If he's too poor, he will deny God. Praise the Lord. So, you see, when we talk about deferred hope and the pressure of life, even Jesus Christ himself once felt overwhelmed, but he took it to God. He expressed himself. You read that account in Mark chapter 14, verses 34 to 36. Praise the Lord. So if Jesus could take it to God, when you are overwhelmed, he took it to God. This night, I want us to rise. Trust God. If you see, if you are having doubt already, if you are already having issue with trusting God, you know there's nothing. You see, God is so faithful. You will know. It's not that they will be telling you. You know. Because your heart will tell you that that trust is not enough. If you are in that situation, if Jesus Christ should go to God and ask for help, you too should go ahead right now and talk to God. Just talk to God and say, Lord, help me. You know that you are doubting. You know that you are not trusting him in some areas. Just talk to your God now. Let him help you. Thank you, Jesus.